Welcome to the Coach's Corner podcast, brought to you by the South Florida chapter of the International Coaching Federation, where our goal is to engage, motivate, and inspire. On the Coach's Corner, we speak with the great professional coaches of ICF South Florida. We hear about what compels them to coach, we talk about the people they support, and the tools and the techniques that they use to get the job done. Coaching is a hugely specialized craft, and this inside look at the power and the promise of coaching is both an exploration and a celebration of our member coaches, their talents, and their client successes. Hello, I'm Eric Gorris, a member of the ICF South Florida Programming Committee and host of the Coach's Corner podcast. If you're a coach, I'd like to invite you to visit the ICF South Florida website so you can learn more about our chapter's benefits and program offerings. To learn more, go to icfsouthflorida.org. Check out our calendar of events, and if you find an event that interests you, register for free as our guest. Just use the promo code PODCAST. Today, we're speaking with Coach Monique Betty, a former executive from Coca-Cola and Eli Lilly, who came to coaching some 17 years ago, the early days of the coaching profession. Along the way, she's spent 5 years as a coaching instructor, took part in rewriting the ICF's Code of Ethics, and today helps high-performing career strivers achieve their ambitions faster, and more importantly, more in line with who they truly aspire to be. You can find out more about and connect with Coach Monique Betty on LinkedIn, but first, get to know her here on the Coach's Corner podcast. Coach Mo, so good to see you. So nice of you to stop by for the podcast. How are you doing today?
I am doing great, living my best life. Thanks for having me, Eric.
As Coach Mo, what is it that brought Mo to become Coach Mo? How did you become a coach?
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of these just life events where you hear somebody say something or you have an experience that's all of a sudden an awakening. And that's what I had back in about 2000. I was newly married, was attending a food service conference. I was working for Coca-Cola at the time. And one of the little workshops I went to, the speaker was Laura Berman Fortgang. And she was a professional coach helping people in discovering their best career path forward. And I sat there and thought, I do that for free with my friends and family. You know, I loved helping people in terms of figuring out the what next in their career. But let me just put a pin in it on that story and say that was really the beginning. It was my awareness that there was a thing or a field called professional coaching. And so fast forward a couple of years, we have our first son, my husband has a relocation opportunity. We decided to live to one income versus two, such that I became the trailing spouse and that I would just pick up, do consulting work, you know, wherever our profession took us so that I was the primary on point for our son or our growing family. Well, all that being said, the internet also at the same time was a place where people were connecting and doing business and what have you. Well, after a couple of years of starting to get us to a new city, get new resources, open my new consulting practice, only for my husband to be reload in a corporate reload. After doing that a couple of times, I thought, you know what? I'm kind of done with this start-stop on my profession. I want something that I can take with me and ebb and flow that works for my schedule. Internet, professional coaching, boom. Why don't I pursue that? So that was really kind of what was the spark that lit within me that I too could become a professional coach. And so I got into a program that was accredited by the ICF, the International Coaching Federation, and I got my first level certification. And there I was off to the races, helping people as a professional coach and supporting them with their, you know, career. I was a career coach.
Coca-Cola. How exciting. You were at Coca-Cola?
Loved it.
And what were you doing there?
Yeah. So I came to Coke after leaving. I was with the pharmaceutical industry. I had been with Eli Lilly and Company in Indianapolis. Well, I was on a business trip while working for Lilly. I was on a business trip in Atlanta, out with some friends after work. My soon-to-be didn't know to me husband sent me a drink, and that sparked a conversation. Next thing I know, fast forward, you know, 9 months, I'm taking my skills and talents to Atlanta to be with him. We get married, and then I have to, you know, find new employment. And I was a brand manager at Eli Lilly. And so I was applying for marketing and sales leadership jobs at Coca-Cola. And I went in as a national sales account on with the Darden business. So, you know, Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Smokey Bones, those guys. So I was national account exec. And while there, I was tapped for an opportunity to become one of our senior executives, chief of staff. And so went on to do that for probably about a year or so before our relocation journey started, and we then moved to Cincinnati. So that's why I would have still been there. I loved working in corporate. And so that's really kind of what's fostered the clients that I serve, is those who are making the climb and in leadership roles in corporate.
My goodness, what a great company to work for, chief of staff. What a great position. What great exposure to corporate world, well-run, I suppose.
Yep, I really enjoyed my time there, learned a lot. As a chief of staff, you are kind of the right hand to the senior executive. And I have to, you know, something I have not shared with you yet, Eric, which I do think was transformative for me, is while I was in that position, now this is going back a while, everyone, 9/11 happened while I was chief of staff. And that was transformational. Because not only had I become aware of professional coaching, not long after 9/11 happened, the executive that I was supporting as their chief of staff, she started to question her career path. And is this all that, you know, it is in corporate? And she was feeling some sort of way, because I think 9/11 brought a lot of people to their heels of, oh my gosh, we don't know how short life can be for any of us. And why not do what truly brings you joy? And I think she was somewhat conflicted, started working with a coach. And I did not know that. I saw this person coming in and I asked her secretary, I'm like, who's that going into Pat's office? And she said, oh, she's working with a coach. And I think Pat, my former boss, started working with a coach to help her get some clarity on what would be her best professional life, feeling that maybe it wasn't going to be, you know, a life in corporate, because she had earned her MBA, Harvard MBA, high-flying marketer, one of the highest-ranking women there at Coke. And it was through the work of her time with a coach that she is now. She has her own business, and she is doing everything centered around her life purpose, which is bringing natural beauty forward through watercolors. So she's an entrepreneur with multiple revenue streams that all emerge from the core of watercolors.
What a transformation. What a beautiful transformation. I mean, this is something that speaks to me, Mo. This speaks to me, Coach Mo. This idea that, and I say this all the time, when you're coaching someone executive and they're starting to question things, man, you never, when you're working with anybody and they're questioning things, man, you never know where you're gonna wind up. Career transitions, right? You think you're looking for a new job and you wind up running a company changing the world through watercolor.
Well, and here's the thing. With her coach, she was able to map out, I want to say, like an 18-month plan, right? Once she got clear on what was her why, you know, what's at her core, and it was bringing natural beauty through watercolors. And if I'm not mistaken, Pat is self-taught. She was not a trained water artist, but it brought her tremendous joy. In fact, I remember having meetings in her office, and I said, wait, Pat, where did that artwork come from up on your wall? She said, I did that. And I was like, what? You did that? You know, I thought it was something she got from the executive archives, you know, where they get to go and pick whatever artwork they want on their wall. And it was truly her passion. And she started leveraging her weekend to not only teach watercolor to the non-artists. She got like a low cost, maybe free space at a local college that had, you know, open and available space on the weekends. Started teaching non-artists how to do watercolor. All the while, she's doing her own work from her home studio, entering it into competitions. She started winning awards. So all of this was a master plan for her, building her confidence, building her financial plans for when she'd make the pivot. Because, you know, is when someone decides they want to go into entrepreneurship, and you're in corporate life, you kind of got a plan for that transition and being a couple of years without an income. So I think watching her be an observer of that, I became all in for, wow, I want to have an impact on people like that.
That is a great example of a great transition to coaching. What's your quality of life like now, I have to ask?
Yeah, well, in fact, I reached out to Pat when I thought that I was going to make this pivot from what I was doing as a consultant to coaching, and asked her about her experience. Because again, up until that point, I just observed from afar. But I really wanted to have a deeper understanding. And so she is still doing it. PatFiorello.com. Go check her out. And she has, she did explain to me how the process was transformative. And then you have to ask why. What is it about coaching? It's not that you have someone in that other chair, some expert who's going to tell you, oh, this is what you should do with your life. But there's someone who holds space for you in your journey of self-discovery. And that's what that coach did for her. And so, yes, I did check in with Pat as I was making the decision. And I mean, this is now fast forward. I've been doing this work 15, 16 years now, and she's still living her best life through watercolors. She takes small groups to the mountainsides in Italy and to the islands to learn to watercolor on mountainsides and then couple that with a fine dining experience. So she's building in, again, all aspects that are of value to her. Good food, good wine, nature, watercolors. I mean, boy, what an inspiration.
You said it, you know, that's the kind of business you wind up getting into. You're right. When someone's holding space, asking you to honor your values, your intentions, what you enjoy, what you want to achieve, then hold you to that. That's how you get to a business where you're, you know, in this, as you just said, in the mountains, painting mountainsides, you know, before going off to a fantastic dinner. And that's your business.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And she has, you know, constructed it. And I thought was so interesting is here she proved herself to be smart, right? Here she's Harvard MBA, and she can deliver for a corporation. And I love the fact that she crossed the bridge to think, well, if I could do this for a corporation, I could build something for myself. You know, how awesome is that? And all stemming from what she's passionate about.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Passion. And as you said, deep exploration around the why. I mean, again, it always comes back to why, it seems, doesn't it?
It is. It is about the why. But I also find that that is the challenge for most people, because you've got to look inward to discover your why. And that can be an uncomfortable journey for many.
Yeah, well put. So you've been doing this 16, 17 years. That's a long time for coaching, a relatively new profession.
It is. Yes, I've been doing this quite some time. Lots of lessons learned.
What do you think has changed over the past 16, 17 years with regard to coaching as a profession?
Well, certainly it being embraced by the marketplace as a support, positive resource to help people level up. Because I came in at a time when it was recognized as the course correction, right? You get a coach because you're about ready to be out the door, and we're going to get you a coach to fix something. And that is certainly not what I do. I've even walked away from job opportunities because of they've wanted to talk to me about somebody who is a low performer. And so the marketplace has changed and is evolving around coaching. I also think this younger generation, they welcome support resources to help them think bigger and more broadly about their challenges. You know, the other thing in terms of the 16, 17 years I've been doing this is I think people are also recognizing that we are, as a society, we're moving so fast at such a clip, and we have so much coming at us that coaching is a place that slows things down for the individual, right? It's we're all functioning in fifth gear. And so it allows us to downshift, to make some tweaks, to prioritize, to think more clearly. Let's get rid of those bad habits. Let's create new habits, that sort of thing. You know, the only other thing I'd say about in terms of the field of coaching, there is the drawback in that, yes, we are unregulated, which as a professional coach is fine with me. It's just my concern that the marketplace, it's easy to get confused about what a coach does because you have a lot of untrained coaches out here, because anybody can hang a shingle and call themselves a coach. But if you have not received the training along the coaching competencies of what makes this skill work, if you aren't held to a standard of ethic, then someone can actually do more damage than harm if they are an untrained, unqualified professional.
That's right. And I couldn't agree with you more. And yeah, to be a trained coach, you're trained in restraint. You're trained in not telling people what's up. You're trained in extracting the best out of them, but letting it come forth from them. It's a profound shift, and it's the only way that coaching works. And you don't get there accidentally. And so many of us, you, I'm sure, myself as well, so many of our listeners, when we have spent our whole careers leading, making decisions, telling people how to execute, it takes time and it takes deep effort to switch into that coaching perspective.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Something I loved about what you just said a few seconds ago was, in this fast-moving world, the coaching session is a place, the time with your coach, your coaching session is a place where you can slow down, change gears, stop and process the world, you know, the world around you, how you are reacting to the world, a moment for self-awareness, reflection, discovery, exploration. I guess there's no question there. I just think it's a lovely benefit of coaching. But I will say, though, I think that is a profound shift, too, that's happened over the past 16, 17 years. The idea that it's gone from send me the people who are about to get fired to send me your highest performers and let's see how high we can get them to fly.
Yep. Yep. And they may get there on their own. I would just say, if you want to take someone getting there on their own over a course of 2 years to, let's shorten that to, what's the value to you of having that individual get there in 12 months or 18 months versus 24? You know, so coaching can speed up that development process.
Yeah.
And expand the thinking more broadly of the possibilities for tweaking, right? Some of us, we get limited in just what we know or what we see in the immediate world in front of us, as opposed to how can you step back, think more broadly in order to create new emerging opportunities that you never thought possible.
Exactly. What else is there? The space for the growth mindset, the great, you know, the space to ask what else, where else, how else, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't think I mentioned to you, Eric, I was a coach trainer with an accredited ICF training program called the Center for Coaching Certification for about 5 or 6 years. I was doing that, you know, in addition to having my own client base. And as a trainer for people who are coming in from industry thinking, hey, I want to have this other, you know, revenue stream, this side gig, I want to be a coach, maybe on the weekends, or someone's truly looking to transfer, you know, full time, or they're at the end of their career, they're thinking, oh, I want to do this coaching thing. I've seen it all in terms of individuals who come into the profession and are just stumped by how difficult it is to be a coach. In particular, you know, for those who are coming in at their entry level, and it's introducing them to, you know, active listening and how to support, you know, creating awareness in the other person. And so many people coming into the coaching profession were like, well, I mean, I'm an expert in, let's say, IT, and I just want to be an IT coach. So they're hiring me because of my expertise. Like, what do you mean? I can't tell them like what the answer is. And I'm like, oh, sure, you can tell them, do what you want, but recognize you're then consulting, right? If you're the expert, you have the answers, you're the consultant.
Yeah.
As a coach, the expert is the client. They have the answers. It's just our job to support them in discovering them for themselves. And they think, well, you know, but I plan on becoming a career. And people are, of course, going to anticipate me having answers for them. And then as a trainer, it's how you go about doing that and still staying true to being a coach. There's a way to do it. It's just understanding what it is you're doing it, how you're doing it, such that that other person stays in the seat of being an expert in their life.
Coaching is incredibly hard. I would say for any young coaches listening, you know, the secret or the answer to this is simply, it just requires hours and hours and hours and hours of practice and getting comfortable with the craft and getting comfortable with the art at the same time, in concert with instruction, in concert with training and ongoing training and, you know, and learning how to be a coach, reading about being a coach, being instructed, doing drills, being taught how to be a coach. You really don't, there's a reason you have to do, I think, 500 hours of coaching to be a PCC, and I think whatever it is, 2,000 or 5,000 or whatever it is to be an MCC, because you actually really need to do that much time to actually be executing at that level, because only through doing do you really get the comfort and the ease to really execute as a coach.
Absolutely. And as I reflect on like my first year of coaching, I'm like, oh, how many times did I just open my mouth and say, well, I think you should do X, Y, Z. And not only have I robbed my client of the opportunity to go through their thought process and self-discover, they showed up at the next session and didn't do it. They didn't do what I asked. Well, thank goodness, you know, because if this is something that I think new coaches need to really understand, if you offer some advice and your client takes it and it brings them harm, guess who they're going to blame?
Yeah.
So there's a reason I get covered with professional liability insurance, because the insurance company knows that I'm well-trained and know what it is that I'm doing in this space. And so, yes, I carry professional liability insurance. And here's the other thing, the big mind shift I think that occurred in my journey, making mistakes in the coach's chair, part of the process. Be okay with that and learn from that. The biggest shift I made for what I believe helped me be a more effective coach is I stopped being in the conversation and instead I became an observer of my client. See, the mistake I was making, and I imagine others do this, is we treat it like a regular conversation, like with our friend or family member or colleague, and there's a certain cadence, right? A certain back and forth. Ask a question, you give an answer. Once I stopped doing that and got out of the way and stopped being in the conversation with my client, then I can create the space for them and their self-discovery, which supports why I'm on the phone as my preferred method. I think the visual creates a great deal of noise when I'm on camera. They're looking for my expression. They're looking for my validation. They're seeing my eyes move a certain way. They're not body language experts, but they're going to feel some sort of way based on what they're seeing. And I think the visual creates noise. And so what's going on in my background or what have you. So for that reason, I keep it to the purest form. Because I share this with my clients when I'm onboarding someone, that this very well may not be a natural flow of communication. Pause is part of the journey on your end and mine, because the real work of coaching happens during the time between coaching sessions. If I'm meeting with you every other week, it's those days and hours in between our meeting that the coaching is taking formation. But that's only if you are owning your journey, right? And then you show up at the next session and share. And guess what? That time between sessions, you're not looking at me on the other side of a camera. I'm not there with you. What is there are your thoughts, your behaviors, and your feeling. And so that for that reason, I keep it on the phone as the most pure way of supporting them and connecting with what's going on in their world for them. So I know it's a little unconventional, maybe.
I'm not so sure it is. I mean, I think there's definitely something to that. I really appreciate what you said, you know, get out of the conversation and observe the client. I mean, a coaching conversation is absolutely not a normal conversation. It's quite different and intentionally so. So I think that's really helpful advice, and actually get out of the conversation and observe the client. That speaks to being in the moment. That speaks to following the client. That speaks to so many aspects of coaching in general. And so I'm going to give that phrase actually a little bit of contemplation after we finish up. And I would encourage the listeners too as well, because I think there's an awful lot of wisdom in that phrase, get out of the conversation and observe the client. When you do that, I would ask young coaches, what happens then when you're on the phone? What happens? How do thoughts change? How does the conversation change, et cetera?
That's a fair question, Eric, for both sides of the conversation. What happens for them and what happens for you?
Extremely well put. Love that. Okay, good. Great. Awesome. Thank you. Nuggets of wisdom. I love it. Coach, well, let me ask you. I want to ask about your team coaching and the programs that you have. Would you care to touch on those before we get into sort of our, I would like to hear about those. And I'd like to have you tell the audience about your podcast too, before we get to our final question.
So just in terms of where I am professionally, after all these years of serving individuals in a one-on-one capacity, one of the things I've come to discover is that a leader inside of a corporation can only be effective as their system in which they're working allows them to, right? And so for that reason, my why is I want to contribute to creating a more positive workplace. I think too many workplaces are toxic. They chew people up, they spit them out, they treat them a certain way. And I'm really committed to want to be part of creating a more positive workplace experience. And for that reason, I am now in the process of shifting. I've slowed down. I'm no longer taking on individual clients, because I am now putting my focus and my attention to serving organizations and teams, to help teams take a look and have an understanding of the stakeholders that they serve inside and outside of organizations, and help organizations realize how their systems are flawed if, in fact, they're holding back the greatness in the people that work there. So that's kind of my reason for why I'm making a shift to team coaching. I have had a podcast. It's on hiatus, but the content is still there on Apple, iTunes, and Spotify. And it's Tuesdays with Coach Mo, particularly designed for, you know, those young professionals looking to make the climb in a corporate. But a lot of stories of individuals who actually off-ramped from corporate and started their own entrepreneurial endeavors. Because I know oftentimes along many of our journeys, we start playing with that idea. So you get to hear some of the firsthand stories of what happened there. also some of my wisdom about a strength-based approach. I'm also a Gallup certified strength coach, and I work with teams and individuals on how to leverage their natural talents in a more productive way at work. So I'm all about, again, creative workplace experience. And one of the tools that I have available for professionals is called Reach. And Reach is just like a self-guided workbook to help you kind of unpack some of your thoughts and truths around what makes for a best day in your life. I think if more of us were showing up in a more positive way, whether it's at work or at home, we would be a human force to reckon with out here. But I'm living on the positive side of the street and trying to put more of that energy out there.
Not only can we hear it, we can feel it. So where can the world is now asking, I'm sure, how in the world can I get in touch with Coach Mo? If I wanted to work with Coach Mo, where would you tell people to get in touch with you?
LinkedIn. Absolutely. LinkedIn, Monique Betty. Last name is just like the woman's first name, Betty. And that's where individuals, I welcome connecting there. And my team and I are working on setting up some more specialty groups in LinkedIn. So whether it's young professionals or managers of teams or what have you, such that I can have a closer engagement with folks. But yep, LinkedIn is my hotspot.
We're going to go to our final question here, Mo, and get you back into your busy day. But before we go, I just want to say thank you so much for being here and sharing your perspective and your wisdom and the benefits of your observations of your 16, 17 years in the business. So thank you so much for being with us today and providing that insight and intuition.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I really appreciate you, Eric, for bringing this resource forward so we can have these types of conversations. So thank you.
Thank you. It's all part of the wonderful programming committee's efforts of the ICF South Florida chapter, which is, I think ICF South Florida does a great job, and I'm glad to be a part of it. But thank you for that recognition. Last question. What do you see in the future of coaching?
Definitely more technology. I have a queasy feeling around AI. There are a lot of coaching platforms now, and I think they're gathering a lot of information of what happens in a coaching conversation such that we could actually be replaced with AI technology. But I think that there is always just that human element of what makes our work so unique, and that we just aren't the people with the answers. We're the people with the questions. So definitely technology. I think a marketplace that wants quality coaches. The cornerstone of what it is that we do, as you know, Eric, is that of confidentiality. I mean, I now know I will be going to my grave with much of what I had. And I have to say, for the young coaches or people starting out in the coaching profession, I struggled with that. I was having a hard time getting to sleep because I oftentimes was also coaching at night. And I would go to bed like worrying, did I say the right thing? You know, this challenge of this client. I was taking everybody's stuff and making it mine and kind of wearing, you know, and continuing to replay coaching sessions. I had to learn to let that go and trust in myself that I was delivering the best that I could, and that I was going to continue to strengthen my delivery such that I was adding that extra value for the client. So just a little tidbit for those getting started, give yourself some grace. But in addition to that, I think the marketplace is really primed and ready for qualified coaching experiences, because I think people do want to, you know, level up personally, professionally, holistically. You got it.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. And there's intense interest in making oneself better and making sense of the world. And yes, coaching is great for all of that.
Oh, and I do have one other point. I think something unique about what I bring to this conversation, Eric, also is, I don't know whether you know, but I was actually part of the very small, like the 27 person committee that revamped our code of ethics for the International Coaching Federation. And that was such a privilege, because being a member of that team, it was a global community. There, 27 of us represented all continents, countries, you name it. And so that's the beauty of knowing if one is, you know, working with an ICF credentialed coach, is we are part of a global community. And we went to significant efforts to ensure that our ethic was representative and reflected a global community. So I just wanted to make that known, because, you know, there aren't the hard boundaries that we used to have, you know, global boundaries. And now we are global communities. So we can rub shoulders with, you know, coaches who demonstrate proficiency along the same competencies that we do in all corners of the world.
This has been fantastic, Mo. Thank you so much for being with us today and for doing what you do.
Thanks so much for having me, Eric. My pleasure.
What a great conversation. It's always so educational and inspirational to talk with colleagues and learn from their experiences. That's why it's so important to continue to collaborate with others. And that is one of the best reasons to consider working with a certified coach. Working with a certified coach opens a whole new space to learn, grow, and design your future in a way that you want it. To learn more about what coaching is and how it can help you, please visit our website at icfsouthflorida.org. There you'll find educational resources, our events calendar, and our coaches directory. We hope you'll find exactly what you're looking for, and if you like what you see, consider becoming a member. We would love to welcome you to our community. That's it for now. Thanks again for joining us in the ICF South Florida's Coach's Corner. Until next week, I'm Eric Gorris. Take care and be well.